It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is back tomorrow. Coming up, we'll get the latest on Wisconsin's voter ID law and how it's playing out in the courts. First, though, we're zeroing in on Governor Scott Walker's just unveiled plan for a second term. The new broad plan includes education, jobs, tax cuts, and public assistance restrictions. Governor Walker calls the plan continuing Wisconsin's comeback, Scott Walker's plan for greater prosperity for all. Andrew Rashofsky is with us now to talk about the plan. He's a fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and a professor emeritus at UW-Madison. Andrew, welcome to Central Time.
Hello.
Well, what was your initial reaction to Governor Walker's new plan?
Well, frankly, I was disappointed with the governor's proposed plans. Although it includes some good ideas, on the whole, I think it will not be successful in what I think the main goals of the state are, to improve our economy, to create jobs, to increase income and income growth. And in the long run, it may well do more harm than good.
One analyst said a lot of the plan is things that we've seen before from the governor, Charles Franklin. Would you say that this new plan mostly reinforces economic ideas Governor Walker has introduced already?
I think it has. Many of the ideas have been proposed before. What's new but also not new are the governor's continuing to want to continue to reduce taxes. He calls for income tax reductions, taxes to be lower in 2018 than the current rates, and he calls for property tax reductions also. And obviously this is a theme that the governor has pursued well before he was governor.
And do you put that down, is it something that you think the governor believes in, or is it something that will be a good move in an election year?
I won't comment on the politics of it, but from the standpoint of an economist, cutting, and I'll focus first on income taxes, cutting income taxes as a way of spurring economic growth has been, I think, thoroughly proven not to be an effective strategy. There's a lot of evidence from economic research that suggests that just cutting income taxes and income taxes alone are a very small part of decisions of businesses and individuals to locate in the state. And if we need evidence, we only have to look at Kansas, where Governor Brownback, as you know, cut income taxes dramatically, and the consequence has been rapid growth in their budget gap. And in Wisconsin, where we cut income taxes, the result has not been rapid job creation and rapid growth, but rather a growth in our budget gap.
Looking at those tax cuts a little more closely, it does remain a popular idea, largely because people like having the extra money. And one idea being that if people have extra money, they'll put that money back into the economy. Is there something that you feel would work better than that?
Well, I think that it's not like income taxes will have lower income taxes, but that's offset by also having a lower public services, spending less money on education, on roads, on the whole range of things that the states do, and spending less money means less resources into the state. And if people have a little higher income, they spend it on lots of things. Only a small fraction of that comes back to Wisconsin. We buy goods that were produced not only in other states but around the world. So the impact of an income tax cut on state economic growth is very weak indeed.
Now, you said at the beginning that you were disappointed and that you thought some of the ideas in Governor Walker's plan could harm Wisconsin's budget. We've been talking about taxes. Are there other things that you think add to that argument?
I would focus, one, on the proposed additional 2 years of tuition freeze at UW or for UW system schools. Everybody might like lower tuition, and it's certainly probably good politics, but it's really bad economics. where the resources going to come for continuing to support the university? Many of the students who come to the university need financial assistance and are struggling, but many other students at the university system come from middle-class families and upper-middle-class families who have been saving for college. Tuition in Wisconsin is, relatively speaking, a really good deal. And giving everyone a tuition freeze provides benefits to people who would come to school anyway and who have saved money for school. And as I think university officials have pointed out, freezing tuition and not having a large increase in state funding, which the governor is not proposing, means further cuts in the university. And some of our best faculty, ones who are bringing in lots of grants, millions of dollars of grants, will more likely leave. And so without education and improving the quality of education, I think the long-run prospects for growth in, and income growth in particular in Wisconsin are greatly diminished.
Now, there was news a few weeks ago that the structural deficit in Wisconsin is growing. What public policies do you see leading to structural deficit?
The deficit, and there's been quite a bit of comparison with structural deficits in previous years and at the end of the Doyle administration. What's different about this structural deficit is that it's not due, as the previous one was, to the recession and sharply declining revenues. This structural deficit is attributable primarily to policies made by the governor and the legislature over the last few years, namely cutting back on income taxes. And there was just released today some data from the Rockefeller Institute of Government that compared tax revenue in the second quarter of this year to the previous year. And in Wisconsin, tax revenue fell by 12%, while for the nation as a whole, it was under 2%, the reduction. And that's due primarily to the fact that we cut income tax rates, and people like lower income tax, but the flip side of that is there's less revenue, and we generate a deficit.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the difference between deficit and debt?
Sure. The deficit. Let me just take a moment and define what a structural deficit really is. And the terms that get used in the $1.8 billion and so forth are numbers calculated by the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. And their numbers really don't account for, on the one hand, growth in revenue over the next biennium, or on the other hand, growth in the cost of providing governments. And just the released budget, I think, by Department of Health Services suggests that in order to provide the kind of health care in Wisconsin as we have done in the past, will require, I think, $750 million extra dollars. To provide education is going to cost more money. Citizens of this state get older over time, increasing health care costs. There are more students, and increases education costs. And the real concept of structural deficit is, given your tax system, how much revenue you're going to raise relative to the amount you need to do what we've done in the past. And that gap is large and is growing.
Well, and another part of this is the last time Governor Walker faced a large structural deficit, he patched it with a big budget repair bill, which, as you know, was a major issue here in Wisconsin. So whoever is governor next, are they going to need another budget repair bill or something similar to sort through this?
I think whoever is governor will need to either raise revenues or cut services. There's no other solution, or some, hopefully some mix of those two.
We're talking right now with Andrew Reschofsky about Governor Walker's new plan. He calls it Continuing Wisconsin's Comeback, Scott Walker's plan for greater prosperity for all. What do you think of this plan? Do you like the measures Governor Walker says he'll implement? And what do you think Wisconsin needs for an economic comeback? Or is Wisconsin already on the right track? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send us an email to talk@WPR.org. We'll continue this conversation and get to your calls in a minute. Now here's a look at some of the latest news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our conversation with economist Andrew Reschofsky about Governor Walker's broad new plan for what he calls Wisconsin's comeback. And we're taking your calls now. What is your reaction to Governor Walker's plan? What do you like or not like about the plan? What alternatives do you think Wisconsin needs for an economic comeback? And will this plan influence your vote in November? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org. And we go to Michael now, joining us in St. Croix Falls. Hi, Michael.
Hi there. It's good to hear you. Good to be on the show. I just wanted to address what I felt was actually probably going to be a huge factor in the structural deficit of the state, if not some of the immediate debt. When Obamacare or the national health care was passed, we were required to expand our health care services. And for what looked to me like a lot of partisan politics, we left a lot of money that would have been granted to the state on the table. And health care is a pretty expensive thing to cover. But now we don't have that money. We're cutting income taxes, reducing the revenue, on top of policies that I feel are also harmful, such as, well, I don't know if that's actually, if this is actually intended for the next budget plan, but he wants to do drug testing for low-income people, where in Florida they showed it was very expensive, but most people didn't do it. It was ridiculously high. 90% of the people were clean. I mean, serious drug addiction doesn't work that way. It's not like people miraculously quit, you know, some serious drug problems to get their welfare check or their aid. I mean, people lose homes and family over that sort of thing, but it is extremely costly, and we're not really raising any new revenues to deal with it. And just on the general income tax cut, well, I think it's good to put more money in the hands of more people. Like, what you save in a year on your tax money is really not that much. It's not enough to generate a super strong consumer base or high jobs. I mean, sure, more of these people spend, but the things they spend those money on might already be in things like well-established monopolies like Walmart, and things that provide services to people of low income.
Gotcha. Thank you so much, Michael, raising a couple of points there. But let's key in on that first one about the federal money that was turned down. Michael says it's going to hurt the budget and we have less revenue coming in. And overall, he thinks it's going to hurt the economy. What do you say to that, Andrew Reschofsky?
I agree with him. I think the number is something like $300 million, at least that's one estimate. And these were political decisions that were made rather than economic decisions, I suspect.
And do you want to weigh in at all about the drug testing? I don't know if that has an economic impact, does it?
Well, I mean, one thing that strikes me is that many of our citizens get money from the state, the elderly, farmers, students with reduced tuition, and the governor hasn't proposed drug testing for those recipients of public largesse. Rather, those people who are unfortunately of low income or temporary unemployed, and one might ask, is the aim really to cut state spending to the needy?
Right, and that's one prong that Michael addressed there, the drug testing, and he's also hoping to move people more quickly into jobs or part-time jobs or job training and thereby offer less public assistance. Would measures like that theoretically help the economy, give some money back or help the state save some money?
I'm a little skeptical. Obviously, federal welfare reform of a number of years ago restricted the time that people can be on state aid and welfare payments. And we have a number of existing programs that provide job training. So it's a little bit unclear whether there's much that the governor can do to make a big difference.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Michael. And we're going to go next to Adam in Bayview. Hey, Adam.
Oh, my gosh. Hi.
What do you think?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, huge fan of the show, and I'm super nervous about talking on radio. This is exciting.
But I'm it's nice to hear from you.
Of Scott Walker in general. As county exec, he would do a lot of tax cuts, which I know sounds like really, really nice, but the money's got to come from somewhere. I used to be a very avid public transportation user. I used the bus all the time. We used to have a world-class bus system that, for what we were paying, was, I mean, it was phenomenal. And once he made those tax cuts, I mean, the money had to come from somewhere. So a lot of cuts came on transportation. And that's what's going to happen statewide. This is going to sound really, really nice, but what's going to come at a cost? The money has to come from somewhere. So are we going to lose more of our park systems? Or, I mean, there's just a lot there. So I think moderates like myself, they don't think about this on voting day.
Great. Well, thank you for calling, and glad to have you on for the first time as a caller, Adam. And Andrew, he's considering, Adam, the trade-off there, that the extra money from savings on taxes might be good, but that there will be a price elsewhere in the state, different services, different things that people use. Is he right about that?
I think he is largely right about that, and we haven't talked explicitly about property tax cuts, but that's part of the governor's proposal. And if you cut property taxes, what does that mean? That means property taxes fund state local services, police and fire, local parks, education. If there's less money, that new money replacement for the property tax is not going to come from state or from federal money, and so it means reduced services. And Wisconsin competes with other states and competes to get businesses and residents. And in the long run, people are looking for a state that provides good services, that has a good environment, has good schools, safe streets. And I think some of these policies over time will jeopardize those things that has made Wisconsin really a special place.
Well, thanks a lot for that call. And I think we have time for one more call. George in Milwaukee joins us now. Hi, George.
Hi. I think in Wisconsin, we have a tremendously diverse economy. And when you compare it to other surrounding states, and a lot of great things going for us. But one thing that gets talked about over and over is the importance of not just higher education, but also technical education, getting more excitement about being a tradesperson, whether it's welding, whether it's going into working for manufacturing plants of the future. There's a whole set of people that maybe aren't going to be going out and being engineers, but they've got great skills. And we really need to emphasize the technical college infrastructure and continue to push that. That benefits everybody. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, George. And it's worth pointing out that Governor Walker's proposed plan that we're discussing right now also calls for a freezing of tuition at technical colleges. I don't know how that might affect the budget, but what do you think about George's comment, Andrew?
I think expanding access to technical colleges is a good thing to do, but cutting tuition again and freezing it for everyone reduces revenue to pay the people who are giving courses and to expand tuition. So we need perhaps lower tuition, but on the other side, we need more public investment in technical colleges and the programs that they provide.
Does it make education more accessible to parents and students?
Lower tuition can make it more accessible for some. Much better would be to say, let's target students who really need assistance and provide them with aid, and let those who can afford to pay pay for the costs of higher education, whether it's technical colleges or universities.
And in our final moments here, Andrew, as the budget plans has more time in the public and more time to digest it, what do you think people's response will be? We've heard yours.
That's a good question. I think I would hope that people will not only look at tax cuts and saying, oh, that's a good thing, but ask the broader question of, if the government has less revenue, which services do I want to give up? And realize that there are two sides to the coin, and that the services that I think most people appreciate and want and think are necessary for economic growth cost money, and freezing revenue is not a solution.
Andrew, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
That was Andrew Ryszkowski, fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and a professor emeritus at UW-Madison. He was with us to talk about Governor Walker's new broad plan for Wisconsin if he gets reelected.